the one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
This is Rant and Wrestling. This is Doomsday, and we're back from a 2-week hiatus.
Technical difficulties.
We've had technical difficulties for the past few weeks, and it looks like it has been resolved. So I am going to introduce my co-host for this evening. Hailing from the Serengeti, one half of the tag team champions of the world, Pudi KD.
You know what? I was about to say, you do a horrible job. But seems to me that you can do this for the rest of the time we do wrestling. Because we've been gone for 2 weeks thanks to Skype and internet issues. But we're back.
Finding a good recorder.
And who is bringing us back? Because it ain't me. It's you. So thank you. Yeah, it's you. It's your show.
It's a miracle.
Yeah.
It's a miracle. I don't know. But, all right. Our other host for this evening, it is Wes Saeed.
Yep. Yay. My soda cap that has a meme side. It says, I miss you. I'm a little concerned.
They're talking about the show.
Show.
They missed us on the show. We've been gone for 2 weeks.
Yo.
All right, so I'll go real quick. Technical difficulties by which Skype keeps making everybody upgrade. Sound card problems. Quarter got
keeping
messed up.
Doomsday off of Skype permanently.
Yeah.
Again.
They tried to hold me back. They tried to.
Again. Hold me back. You and Skype been since like 2014.
Yo, we've been beefing for forever. I don't even know how, like, this is so fucking dumb.
All Skype is coming to get you. Like, we were trying to find a recorder. He found one, but it kept, what, Skype just went, or the computer wouldn't let you back on?
Yo, it kicked me. It kicked me after it downloaded. Like, ridiculous. Like, when it started trying to, like, record and shit, it kicked me.
One is the same thing to me. It kicked me off right when I started playing it and took my internet off for like 3 minutes. So, yeah. There's some BS. You would think Skype would just put one there. People keep asking them.
Right. Fucking, you can blame Microsoft bullshit.
And God forbid they put one on there and that shit still doesn't work properly.
Yo.
You know, because that's just Skype right there. That's Skype in a nutshell. Just work properly. Just doesn't. Yeah, you know, we found it. We found it. We're back now. Doomsday, Westside Golf, Pudi KD. Finally, episode 139 of Ryan Wrestling. Doomsday, you did well. You did well. Thank you.
I did well. Yeah.
Besides the other news that we've been, you know, neglecting from this past 2 weeks, we're going to pick up from something new. Just a new scratch off it. We're going to go to this new one.
Yeah, because so, you already heard all that other bullshit.
Yeah. We already know Goldberg lost. There's no new champion in the Cruiserweight division. You know, it's all old new. The Young Bucks died. This stuff's done.
Well, should we mention DIY and the Revival had probably the best tag match of the year?
Oh, yeah.
I've been on a best of list already.
Definitely.
So.
Definitely.
I have a best of list pretty much set. I'm just waiting to see if anything changes. But I have, like, a top 20 already, or 25 already written down.
And the fact that I don't have a Lucha Underground top 10.
Oh, I did it by a company. I just did everything.
I did it by everything.
You did by everything?
Yes.
Yeah, me too.
I separated from, like, Ring of Honor matches to DWG matches. I think WWE's all in one. So NXT, CW, that's all in.
Yeah, when I was like really into like getting like doing a whole bunch of like lists and shit and like super like wrestling and shit, like I would make a whole bunch of different lists. But now it's just that I'll just make a big list of like my top matches.
That's New Japan.
My top of the year, and that's about it.
And like, this is your list, so it's not wrong.
I kind of did that with my wrestlers list. I took out gender, so I have like 3 or 4 women on my wrestler year list.
Oh, that actually makes sense, actually.
And I gotta be honest with you, Charlotte's in my top 10, and I hate Charlotte, but I love her at the same time.
Bruh, so we're definitely gonna have to go through Raw.
Since that's new stuff, let me do the World Tag League from New Japan real quick so we can get the hell out the way.
All right.
Yes.
All right. So, for those who don't know, New Japan's doing the final tournament of the year. It's the tournament that really only sets the tag team challengers up for Wrestle Kingdom. This is really to try out some new guys and to give some guys a rest. So I'm going to go through real quick the breakdown of matches and mention the team. Just quick thoughts. Block A, you got Tanahashi teaming with Juice Robinson, more or less filling in for Elgin. Oh, I actually do have news on Elgin, but I'll do that later. From the original Los Ingobernables is the partner for Tetsuya Naito. You got, of course, Tenzin Kojima, the G.O.D. Gorillas of Destiny. You got Hangage and Yujiro Takahashi teaming again, so that is an actual tag that will stick around. Got Manabu Nakanishi teaming up with Young Lion Hanair. He's their only heavyweight Young Lion that's wrestling. And then 2 new teams premiering for Block A. Some guys from World League Wrestling. Brian Breaker, who I guess used to be in NXT briefly. And Leland Race, son of Harley Race. And, of course, War Machine, Raymond Lowe and Hanson. That's Block teams. Block B, you got Makabe Hama, obviously. Okada's teaming up with Shihashi again. This year, you got Nagata teaming with Shibata, Evil and Sonata for Phenobolus, Ishii and Goto representing Chaos, Bad Luck Fale teaming up with the former Captain Japan, Bone Soldier, Kenny Omega teaming up with Chase Owens. As you know, Omega went from junior to heavyweight in the span of one show early this year. Chase Owens, I guess, has went from junior to heavyweight since his last appearance was, I think, Best of the Super Juniors. So now he's a heavyweight. I don't know. And then Yoshitatsu teaming up with Billy Gunn of D-Generation X. So I'll go through this real quick. Block A stuff, I believe right now Kojima and Tenzin are in the lead. They've actually had really good fun of matches so far. GOD's gotten better with every show, so they've been doing pretty well. War Machine, I know you guys want to watch War Machine. War Machine is doing good. The audience is responding. They like Machine. I think it's a race for the top between Tenzin, Kojima, G.O.D., and War Machine right now. Naito Rush is pretty good. Tanahashi, Juice Robinson, already are technically eliminated. They only won 2 matches, but they're on the far end. Nakanishi here is on 0. Leland Race and Brian Breaker are just generic lightweight tag 1.
Yep.
I really did like the War Machine G.O.D. match, even though it was like a minutes rolling on the outside, but the crowd really liked it. Just like I said, G.O.D. is doing really good. Machine looking really good. I'm trying to think. I think my favorite match so far for Block A was actually Jiro Takahashi and Hangman Page against Tanahashi and Ryan. Really good match. Alright, Billy Gunn has been very fun. I mean, he doesn't do much, but he is so much bigger than everybody.
Yeah, that's right. I did notice that. He is a lot bigger than everybody.
Trey no-sold Makabe, too, when him and Itachi fought GBA. Like, you know, Makabe's pretty big for a Japanese dude, but Billy Gunn's taller than him. He's like, I shit for this guy.
Right.
They had a match against Nagata and Shibata, even though there's a much gun in it. Shibata spent most of the match just beating Yoshitatsu like he owed him money. Like, stiffing him, giving him absolutely nothing. Like, Shibata sold more for Billy Gunn in, like, 1 minute than he did for Yoshitatsu for a whole 10 minutes of that match. It's actually pretty mean. But the best match, I think, of that one was Chaos. No, Chaos. Yeah, it was Tomohiro Ishii and Hiroki Goto, who I think taking on Evil and Sonata. And their guilty move is a version of Goto's current finish, which is that weird neck breaker he does.
Yeah.
So they do it as a power bomb, and it looks very sick. Like, why would you do that to a person? But I actually like Hangman Page and Takahashi's double team finishes.
So you think that Goto is going to be another World Tag League champion the third time?
Yes. But he's won it with Carl Anderson and with Shibata 2 years ago.
Yeah,
why not? I mean, they want to put Ishii on the pay-per-view, and they want to put Goto on the pay-per-view. And they could do Evil, Sonata, and then Ushi versus the six for the six-man. So why not do Ishii and Goto? Plus, Yoshihashi already had an amazing match with G.O.D. anyway. It can only get better with Goto. But, yeah. But I actually do like the Takahashi Man Page team. I'm probably like one of the only guys who does, because everybody hates Takahashi. Even though I hear in real life he's a pretty cool dude. But they had a pretty good double team finisher where he looks like Takahashi's going for the Fire Thunder Powerbomb, and then Hangman Page comes off with flying elbow drop, and then he basically turns it into a Dominator DDT. It's a sick looking move. But overall, it's kind of a you don't need to watch it kind of tournament, but they can produce pretty good matches. That's pretty much all you need to know. But yeah, watching Billy is a bit amusing, especially in the match against the God of Shibata, because Shibata is literally starting up on Yoshitatsu, and Gunn said, "You better tag me in because he's gonna kill you."
No, man.
Yeah. So, and they gave Billy Gunn his own music too. All right, and that is that for tag team. Nothing else.
All right. Well, I guess we'll move on to Monday Night Raw.
Raw
is war. Okay, Jay, please give the fans what they want. What happened on this Monday night?
Well, a lot of bullshit happened. That's what happened.
Nothing new.
Well, Jer Owen or whatever, Kevin Owens and Jericho have officially like broken up. I guess because Jericho got upset that Kevin Owens said that he really didn't need him to win, blah, 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 shit, and he got all pissy and left. Jericho gets attacked by Seth Rollins in the parking lot for interfering in the match previously. I think it was Golden. Which one of them from Golden Truth was it? I think it was R-Truth. Yeah, R-Truth got his ass kicked by Braun Strowman, and Sami Zayn said, "Fuck it, he's gonna come out and keep attacking him," because I guess they're really trying to push this whole underdog thing, underdog from the underground thing with him. And just as he's about to get killed in the Tree of Woe, Mick Foley stops him. And after that, Zayn is basically yelling at Mick Foley. One thing that seemed kind of funny, it kind of looked like Mick Foley's false teeth popped out and shit while it was going on. Yeah. That was funny. They announced that it'll be Charlotte versus Sasha Banks for the title. Of course, they're in Charlotte tonight. So, the first town person who fought that night, Cedric Alexander, facing Tony Nese, and lo and behold, fucking Cedric Alexander lost. He had a great reaction from the crowd. It was decent, but he ended up taking that L because Gulak got with the interference.
I don't know what Vince McMahon's problem is with it. It's not like
I think he just didn't know he was from Charlotte.
Oh, no, he fucking knew. He fucking knew.
He knows all where all those are from, and he's going to make sure they drop everywhere. Unless he absolutely positively has to see it.
And then speaking of Charlotte again, ends up being Charlotte Flair versus Sasha Banks for the title. Only problem is, it ends up in a double countout. So Charlotte doesn't lose.
But she doesn't either.
Right?
Hate ties.
Enzo ended up beating Rusev via disqualification after Rusev tricks off of him and kicked him in the nuts. Rich Swann ended up facing Noam Dar, and he ended up pinning up the victory with one of those spin kick things. Because it looks like... Because he's been doing... I guess he's not using that 450 as much, but using that spin kick these days for victories and whatnot as a finisher. Which is dope, because it's a cool kick.
Yeah.
It's a cool kick.
I mean, I've come to realize that as long as I like the wrestler and it...
Oh, yeah. We got... after that, there was the Sheamus and Cesaro segment in the bar. Sheamus and Cesaro ended up talking about how they were... they hated each other, they despised each other, but at the same time, it was a necessary evil for them to be together because they actually do well. They lamented about their victory in Survivor Series and ended up getting berated by some locals at the bar. And one person who was there, besides all these other random jobber dudes, was Tessa Blanchard. So, she was out there. But they kept prodding Sheamus and Cesaro, and after a while ended up being a huge, big bar brawl. They were throwing them all over the bar, tossing them all over the place, hitting them with pool sticks. And then they tossed the one dude in the end through a freaking wall that was paper fucking thin, like obviously paper thin. They could have went with a breakaway, like regular wall or some shit, but no, they went with a fucking paper wall. But yeah.
I'm trying to remember the last time WWE did something like that. But I guess since I don't watch every week, show every week, it's hard for me to remember. I know they pulled stunts like that before.
Yeah. I remember, speaking of bars, I will never forget that that one bar brawl. But it wasn't even a bar. It was like a makeshift bar in the arena. I forgot what, I don't know if it was like a Royal Rumble or WrestleMania or something like that event. And I think the APA had hosted it or some shit like that. And, there was just a whole bunch of random characters. Like, old school guys. Guys that were there. That were current superstars and whatnot. I can't put my finger on what event it was at, though. But it was just completely ridiculous. I remember Brother Love was there. I think it was Funaki was getting drunk. It was ridiculous. But yeah, Sheamus and Cesaro. At the end of the,
I remember what you're talking about.
Yeah, you don't remember.
Funaki was always a silly drunk. Yeah. It's been a long while since that.
I think it was Funaki. Yeah, I think Tajiri was in there too. Shit. But that was a long. That was like, I want to say that was probably from 14 years ago or some shit. So I can't remember it too vividly, but at the end of the Sheamus and Cesaro bar brawl, though, they rose their glasses of Guinness. It was really awkward for the fact that, Sheamus had gotten his, little sip of beer, but, Cesaro didn't even take a sip. He just kind of just held the glass up at the end. I think that shit was pretty entertaining, but I can't forgive it for the whole paper wall shit. After that, there was the Reigns Kevin Owens. If Roman Reigns ended up picking up the victory, he would end up becoming number one contender for the Universal Championship. And lo and behold, he ended up doing that. So. After that, Owens is angry and still upset about the Chris Jericho thing and blah, blah, blah. But, of course, once again, the story is Roman Reigns is back in the title picture.
Yay! Isn't he the champion of the United States?
Yes, he is. So he could be the second guy to sort of do that, sort of.
First come, first serve.
Because Seth Rollins did it with the World Heavyweight title, and if Roman Reigns does it, he'll be doing it with the Universal title instead. Yeah.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
Yeah, I don't know. But the funny thing, always the funny thing about Roman Reigns, like, he'll get into all of this shit. He'll do the fights, all that shit. Everybody's booing the shit out of him. But at the end, a lot of times you hear cheering. You ever notice that?
Yeah, those are those Roman Reigns fans that don't want to get noticed until they absolutely like, yeah, my guy did it, ha, ha, ha.
Right.
Like, you don't... It was like overwhelming cheers for him at the end. It was really weird.
Because he's a winner. Eventually, people have to start cheering, right?
Right.
Until he gets that Universal title, then he's going to start getting booed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As long as Owens is getting cheered, everything's going to be okay.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, after that, then there was a interview with Paul Heyman and Michael Cole involving the whole Brock Lesnar Goldberg fiasco or whatever. I heard Paul Heyman was crying or some shit like that. I don't know. Either way, I didn't bother to watch it because I really don't give a shit.
I wouldn't either, to be honest with you.
Yeah, just fuck it. After that, there was New Day versus Anderson and Gallows. Anderson and Gallows beat the bricks off of New Day. Somehow, still ended up taking the L. So, yes, the New Day are still the champs. I'm guessing the plan is to make them break the Demolition's record or at least be really close to it and lose. I don't know. But
I don't understand their sudden interest in breaking records.
They gotta not just breaking records, no. You gotta make history.
You gotta make history, man. Like the Divas.
Yeah, man.
And, the women. The women.
They made history.
They made history briefly with the tag division by making it good for a few months. But then they almost ruined all the other tag teams in the process.
Yeah.
Some people will call it collateral damage.
Mm-hmm.
In the crossfires, you're gonna get hit.
I guess the New Day sells enough merch, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's right. But speaking of the women, Bayley's backstage wishing Sasha Banks good luck or whatever, because apparently after the count out, they had announced that it'll be Falls Count Anywhere for the main event. And blah, blah, blah. And then, of course, main event time. Women's title, Charlotte versus Sasha Banks, once again. Very good match. I really like this one. They were all over the place in this one. Like the ending. But the victor ended up being Sasha Banks. So yes, the hometown person ended up taking an L again. Charlotte ended up taking the loss. And Sasha Banks became a 3-time women's champion. And as she was celebrating, Ric Flair had came out and rose her hand in approval and celebration. This is not a surprise, obviously, because months ago, Charlotte had tossed Ric Flair aside, basically called him trash and useless and blah, 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 all this other type of shit. So it's no surprise that Ric Flair and Flair Country would side with Sasha Banks over his own flesh and blood, who disowned him. So
she's being a dick. That's not fair. Like, no, you're being unfair. Your daughter just called you out. It wouldn't be no Charlotte Flair if it wasn't for Ric Flair. How you doing?
But yeah, so that was the end of it. That was the end of Raw. Everything was so-so until the end.
Like, I mean, well, what's your thoughts on them giving the title back to Sasha Banks and then giving it to Charlotte?
I don't know. I'm tired of them playing, like, playing catch with the title.
Yeah, I'm
a little tired of that.
Like, you but had something.
That if it's different people. If it's the same two people, it's bothersome. And Sasha keeps losing at the pay-per-view. She has to win this pay-per-view, or it's just like, why?
Yeah. But Charlotte's undefeated in pay-per-views. So yeah, she's not. So why are they keep giving it? Why are they taking it away, putting it back on, taking it away, putting it back on? That reminds me of TNA. They did that before with the Knockouts division. Every 60 days or every so like 40 days, you have a new women's champion. Granted, it won't be the same one how they're doing with Charlotte and Sasha Banks, but it will be. It was like 8 different title changes within like 4 months of each other. And it's the same people, so it's like, okay, Sasha Banks is the women's champion for the third time. You're going to make, what, Charlotte, a 21 women's champion? Is that what you're aiming for? Because at this rate, they're not going to have nothing to fight for later on. Sasha Banks has had the title so many times this year alone. So if she wins it, like, I'll say about 2 years from now, I mean, what, by that time, she'll probably be an 8-time women's champion.
Let's just be honest here.
Like, that's what's going to happen. Why? Because that's Ric Flair's daughter. That's why. It makes all the sense. Perfect sense. You know, but, I mean, and Bayley's probably got to be looking like, well, I'm getting I'm getting at least 4 title reigns, right? Because y'all bitches got 3 each. And Charlotte's holding on 4. Like, that's crazy. The women's title been out since what? WrestleMania?
Yeah.
And we've only had 2 women's champions. Sasha and her. And now,
had to go to another brand to win a title.
Yeah, exactly. And SmackDown, what? They only had Becky Lynch. And that's it.
Yeah, that's it.
I still think they have a pound-for-pound better women's roster. Nikki Bella's good. I'm really liking Alexis Bliss. Carmella's growing on me. Then you got, like, Natalya's there and Naomi. I mean, they don't have the star power, but, you know.
They don't have the star power, but they have the depth.
Yes. And that's sometimes what I think that's better.
And they have quality, and they have quality in their depth.
Yes.
So, yeah.
I can rant no more. What's up,
real quick, Doomsday. I think my recorder will go past 15 minutes, but I think you have to keep it up and not minimize it, and then it'll give you an option to keep recording.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Because I noticed when you minimize the thing, it disappears.
Yeah.
All right, so that's a heads up. So my thing is going past 15 minutes.
And you're using the Amaltos thing.
Yes. Yeah. All right. So it could have just been a weird thing they don't tell you about that, and we just missed it.
Yeah.
All right. I just wanted to let you know. Continue.
All right. Okay. Time for Smack Dizzle, Shaq Dizzle.
And, don't do that no more.
Hey, I can do whatever I want to. This is my show now.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, this is my show.
Don't do that no more.
No, I'll do it. Anyway, whatever. Beginning of SmackDown ended up being, like, of course, another contract signing. It was a back and forth between Becky and Alexa Bliss. Words were exchanged, obviously, but Becky ended up saying fuck it and started attacking Alexa. And things were going all over the place. Becky was going to hit her with the Bex, Super Bexplex into a table, but what ended up happening is Alexa Bliss got the upper hand and pushed her off of her, and Becky went through the table. After that, they had some shit with, they announced that James Ellsworth would be on the Ambrose Asylum, whatever. Dolph Ziggler and Kalisto end up facing The Miz and Baron Corbin. what ended up happening was Dolph Ziggler and Kalisto ended up picking up the victory because Baron Corbin took it upon himself to hit Kalisto with a chair, who he will be facing in TLC in a chairs match.
They keep trying with Baron Corbin, but he just keeps getting lousier and lousier.
I don't know, and his thinning hair is really distracting me too.
Yeah, he's on television. If you're staying at home, it's one thing, but you're on television, dude. What the hell?
Yo, but anyway, they had a whole bunch of other backstage shit talking. There was the whole thing with American Alpha versus the Wyatt family. American Alpha said they were ready. After they got their spiel done, the Wyatt family immediately responded. It was really fucking weird, actually, how they... I guess it's Wyatt family, so that they let that type of shit slide. So, they went through that exchange and whatnot. What ended up happening, after that, Carmella ended up coming out talking about, Nikki Bella, talking mad shit about John Cena, and all this, basically just pulling the curtain, just referencing a whole bunch of Total Bella shit and whatever. And then Nikki Bella...
Carmella's really becoming that girl who everybody hates at high school.
Yeah, basically.
And I appreciate the characterization.
Yeah. Yeah. And, but Nikki Bella said, had enough of it and ended up, charging at, Carmella. Ended up scrapping for a while. Carmella ended up retreating to the stage and fades to black. They did a whole Ambrose Asylum after that. Talked about James Ellsworth's victory. AJ Styles comes out. He's pissed off as usual. A lot of exchange the words. Ends up attacking James Ellsworth and... Dean Ambrose, and by the end of it, he hits James Ellsworth with a Styles Clash off of the steel steps. So he basically, I think he used like that bottom, like you know how it's a segment into like into two pieces, whatever. He used the bottom one and basically used that to elevate the Styles Clash for a little bit or whatever. And James Ellsworth ended up getting pulled out in a stretcher after that one Kane and Luke Harper. I honestly didn't give a shit about this one. but Kane ended up picking up the victory. After the match, Kane stood over Harper, and of course he did his whole his whole fire shit with the ring corners and whatever and whatnot. After that, there's shit backstage. They're advertising 205 Live. Then the main event ends up being American Alpha versus the Wyatt family. Pretty good match. But of course, Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton picked up the victory after Luke Harper ended up magically appearing. Like, magically delicious shit. Like, Lucky Charms.
I'm okay with this because it makes sense they want to keep titles on Rhino and Heath Slater for a bit longer. Because once American Alpha gets into that title picture, they're winning the belts.
Yeah. But after that, they were... Heath Slater and Rhino were actually about to get interviewed, but... AJ Styles came out, talked mad shit to both of them. Then after a while, Dean Ambrose comes out, and it becomes a huge brawl at the end of the to finish off SmackDown. After that, SmackDown had their talking smack. The Miz is actually co-hosting with Renee Young now. I think Dolph Ziggler made a reference to himself paying dominatrixes to beat him or some shit. It was really fucking weird. I don't think he thought people caught that, but I caught that shit. That was really fucking weird. He was talking about paying women to beat him or some shit. And I was like, okay. But and then AJ Styles also came out, talked mad shit about James Ellsworth. Miz actually talked a whole bunch of shit about James
Mike
Ellsworth.
Mike Mizanin.
Mike Mizanin. Yes, because they were calling him Michael and Mike and all that shit. They really didn't give a shit about
Mike Mizanin. Yeah,
Miz shit anymore.
So I thought everyone was going by their shoot name, but it was just him.
No, just him, because I guess he can do that because he's a Hollywood movie star.
Yeah.
It makes sense because The Rock doesn't go by The Rock anymore, you know. So he talked. They were basically talking about how there's countless dudes. Like they want to talk about how SmackDown's the land of opportunity, but at the same time, there's numerous dudes that have been underutilized on SmackDown. I think they name dropped Apollo Crews on that shit, who we've all noticed. Has been underutilized. It's ridiculous how fucked up it is with him. Terrible. Fucking terrible.
And they know it. They know that shit.
They know that shit. It's fucked up, man. It's really fucked up. I just want Apollo Crews to just, like, come out and just start beating the shit out of people. Or whatever. Because, like, that's the only way he's going to be able to, like, get any type of shine now. Like, he starts interrupting shit. Because that's the only way. But it's a damn shame. But yeah, they made a great point in the fact that, yeah, like SmackDown hails itself as the land of opportunity, but at the same time, they're playing a whole bunch of bullshit. And I think they even mentioned, like, Curt Hawkins also, like, even him getting brought back and them not even using him that much anyway. Everything is just fucking stupid. But. Yeah, SmackDown, for a while, SmackDown was, like, on top of Raw, but, like, with the James Ellsworth antics and people being underutilized and other shit, it's starting to go downhill fast.
Well, what's your thoughts on James Ellsworth beating AJ Styles 3 times in a row?
Like, I get wrestling is, like, staged and whatnot, but, like, at some point, it gets ridiculous, especially with the championship, with the world champion. This is the biggest problem. If you look at the Universal and World titles, both of those titles don't mean much right now. Both of them, even with like Kevin Owens fighting Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns, it just doesn't feel like it's that important.
It started off
that way because it was a new championship. Everything was fresh. But then after a while, who mentioned that the list of Jericho is more important than the Universal title?
Yeah, it is.
That shit. Like, are they
wrong?
I laugh at that shit, but that's probably true. That's a damn shame, man. But, like, I don't know. Should have just fucked up in WWE right now. They need to get their priorities straight. Oh, no.
They got them straight. That's why they signed James Ellsworth to a contract.
All right. Oh, man.
And, he might be the next world champion. He could face Dean Ambrose, and it is storylines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, yeah, that's my spiel about it. And after I go over the little bit for 205 Live, I have a few bits of news. I got some news. I got
of course.
It. Just a little bit.
I got a couple things of news, too. I got
a little bit. But, yeah, after that, SmackDown is done talking smack. After those went down, 205 Live. Actually, no, correction. SmackDown went on, then it was 205 Live. Then it was talking smack, but whatever. I might as well went over talking smack anyway, so I did. But 205 Live went down. They had a whole introduction of all the cruiserweights. They listed all the guys, all the dudes that were overseas that we hadn't seen, since the CWC, they finally showed up. Like, you got, Jack Gallagher, Akira Tozawa, he showed up now. Grant Metalik, he was there the first few weeks of the cruiserweights going to Raw, but then after that, he kind of disappeared for a while, but now he's back. Who else is there? Mustafa Ali. Yeah, he's there too now. So, 205 Live.
Ho Loon.
Oh, yeah, I forgot Ho Ho Loon. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Ho Ho Loon.
And that Tony Nese guy that we saw get the contract when he was in Evolve.
Yeah, that's right. He was there too.
He signed that shit.
And great segue to that Tony Nese guy, because the first match ended up being a tag match between the Tony Nese and Gulak versus the Bollywood Boys.
Bollywood Boys.
They had a whole video package with them, gave their whole spiel of how they wanted to do right by their family. Their grandfather, who's blind, was ecstatic about them wrestling and making it to the WWE and all that stuff. It was really cool. But the match itself was pretty good. What ended up happening is that they ended up pinning Gulak after a double super kick. So they had that one. After the match, and I noticed that WWE's been doing that a lot lately, having like interviews right after matches and shit. So
Do you mind that?
I think it's a cool throwback. It's a cool throwback. Yeah, I don't know. I like it. But their interview, it ended up being Nese and Gulak cutting a promo talking about the ring conditions were bad and lack of geography and all this other bullshit.
The ropes were sweaty.
Yeah, they were basically given every excuse in the book for them losing. And I failed to mention that the announce team was Mauro Ranallo, Corey Graves, and special guest Austin Aries, who did all right. He did all right. I'll give him that. He did all right.
He had to do something. He was like, "Yo, what? I'm gonna just sit on my ass and not get paid?" He's like, "Well, you can commentate 205 Live if you want." He was like, "Shit, all right. We need a heel on commentary because." I think Corey Graves was playing the face most of the show.
Not
all the show. So.
Yeah, because Austin Aries took over the heel role basically. Okay, so after that, there was a video package with the Scottish Supernova Noam Dar, and I'm sorry, I don't want to be that guy, but I have to.
Here we go.
I fucking hate his voice.
Yep, I told you. I was like, "Yo, he got the look. He can wrestle.
He's got the look. He can wrestle, but he sounds way too Scottish, and he sounds like a fucking. He sounds like a child, like a Scottish child. Okay, look at Drew Galloway. Drew Galloway. He sounds like a fucking like man. Some Braveheart shit." some real rugged shit. But then you listen to Noam Dar, he sounds like a fucking, like, child. Not his voice, not, like, the pitch of his voice, but it's, like, the cadence of his voice. It's just so fucking weird. I don't know, man.
He's Scottish. He's too Scottish. That's the issue. Like, he probably could talk. He probably could be a good promo guy. But you can't understand what he's saying because he's just too Scottish. That's the issue. He doesn't sound like Galloway at all. He could, but apparently he came to the States a little too late.
Way too late.
Yeah, so that is the main issue. Good wrestler. He can work. Kyle likes him. He's charismatic. You can't understand. It's not like he has bad mic skills. You just can't understand what he's saying, captured or not, you know. So you look at T.J. Perkins, and he, my friend said he has the personality of a wet flip-flop. But, yeah, at least he can speak, you know. But, yeah, that's his Noam Dar only issue. You can't understand what he's saying.
Speaking of T.J. Perkins, They had a backstage segment with Brian Kendrick, the Brian Kendrick.
Right.
And Kendrick was talking about how he'll capitalize on any mistake Rich Swann makes. But then Tom Phillips is like, yeah, but what about TJ Perkins, who happens to be right behind him?
And, former champion.
Yeah, former champion. And TJ talks about how he wishes him good luck so he can get his shot at his title, to get his title back from him, whatever. But he fucked it up. It just seemed really awkward.
And his reasoning was like, A, good luck on your match. I might be out of the title picture. But last time I checked, whoever loses gets a rematch in their clause.
You're still owed the match.
And Brian Kendrick, he's still owed. You know, so I don't see why he said that. But, you know, wrestling. And he did seem uncomfortable. It seemed like he didn't want to do it, but as a wrestler, you have to do it.
Yeah.
So it was like, yeah, you gotta go out there and talk, man. That's a part of your job. And if you can't do it, we can send you back to, you know, Reseda. You like going back there, right? Getting paid in, I don't know, Rice Krispie treats and hot dogs and a roll of quarters, go ahead. But if you want to hear work from me, Vince K, man, you're going to have to go out there and you're going to have to speak live.
That's why I'm worried about, like, Ricochet, because, like, I think he's improved Mike skills-wise, but, like, he still has some way to go. I don't know. He's just so funny. But next match ended up being Aryo Daivari versus Jack Gallagher. Of course, Jack Gallagher put on a clinic out there, really wowed the crowd with his unorthodox offense. And he ended up picking up the victory with a running dropkick to the corner. So it was awesome with that. I remember Austin Aries just talking shit, saying that this man's wrestling in tube socks.
Yo, but, it's called Bobos, yo.
Yeah, but it's a throwback. It's a throwback.
Bobos.
He is a quintessential throwback. They also said that Grand Metalik will, in the coming weeks, will debut in 205 Live.
I believe he finally got everything accounted for. I mean, he's done with CMLL for sure.
Yeah, I think they say he's going to be there next week. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's not like
they said in the coming week, so it could be next week, could be any other time. I don't know. But they also had a video package for Lince Dorado, talked about Puerto Rico and his travels and how he could be a big star outside of the Cruiserweight division period, just based on how great he is in Lucha and his him being fluent in English and Spanish and all that stuff like that, blah, blah, blah. And after that, they had yet another video package. Highlighted Rich Swann and his backstory. We all know his deal. He lost both parents, struggled a lot, ended up shaking himself up and shaking himself off, and wrestling saved his life. So ended up being the Brian Kendrick versus Rich Swann for the WWE Cruiserweight Championship. Very good match, very entertaining. Very cool, man. A lot of cool spots in it. Both guys got their shit in. But in the end, it ended up being the new Cruiserweight champion, Rich Swann, picking up the victory. Yes.
I'm pretty sure I said during sometime after the Cruiserweight Classic that Rich Swann should have won if they weren't going to make Zack Sabre Jr. or Grand Metalik.
Right, because since he was the first, since out of all of the Cruiserweights, I think he was one of the only ones that were actually signed by the company beforehand.
He had a lot of personality in the crowd, you know, gravitate. Don't get me wrong, though, I think Brian Kendrick would have also been a good choice. But to me, Brian Kendrick's more of a... what should have been the guy to take the title off of the loved fan favorite.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, he's a better champion than TJ Perkins, and he was the right guy for Swann to win the title off. I still think that Swann, if he was the first champion, would have been better.
Yeah. But it was really cool. I liked the way he ended up doing it, because he hit the three fucking spin kicks to take out Brian Kendrick.
Mm-hmm.
Because he made sure he stayed down, so that was cool. Got real emotional at the end. He was happy as hell. He's dedicated it to his mom. Crowd went wild. Then Brian Kendrick was talking mad shit. Like, after he lost, saying that he'd get it back, and it's a bullshit. Like, it's only a matter of time. But, so Swan ended up celebrating as they were going off the air, and that was it. That was the first WWE 205 Live event.
And, how would you think the first show went, in your opinion?
Pretty good. Pretty good. The thing is that, you know, somebody made one comment saying it feels like Velocity, and I can't disagree with that shit, because it feels like fucking Velocity. Because does anybody remember Velocity? Because like Velocity,
I remember Velocity.
Yeah, Velocity was.
I remember Shotgun Saturday Night and Sunday Night Heat. To be honest with you,
no, I liked Velocity. I liked Velocity because they had talent. They had, like, unknown talent on Velocity, like, constantly. Like dudes that you wouldn't see on Raw or SmackDown. Spanky was on Velocity all the time. Who else was there? Kazarian was on Velocity all the time. Like, they had some really good, really talented dudes on Velocity that didn't get much shine elsewhere. Or just didn't debut for a while, so... but yeah, it just felt like that. That's what it felt like.
In my opinion, the show was good for it to be the first show.
Yeah.
I still do not like that they're on after SmackDown, because that first match, crowd was dead, man. Granted, it's going towards 10 o'clock,
and you know how
Raw goes 3 hours anyway.
Yeah.
You add on 205 Live to SmackDown, guess what, guys? 3 hours. Okay. Yes, there's two different things, but still, you're tacking on that extra hour because it's live. You know what? They should just go back to Full Sail. The crowd appreciates them there. It won't seem like they're dead, you know. And Jack Gallagher, I'm glad he got the pop he did, and I'm glad that the last match with Kendrick and Swan was really good. But like how NXT was ran, and then the CWC was on afterwards. Granted, it was taped, you know, but, I mean, when haven't they changed shit before? They could easily just call it 205, you know. They don't even have to call it 205 Live. Damn it, they say SmackDown Live all the fuck time, you know.
Even though SmackDown wasn't live for one night. When they went to they went to Scotland, they weren't live.
Right. But I want it to be a Full Sail. It's a smaller crowd. They will appreciate the wrestling a little bit more. People can still create an identity for themselves, and the crowd won't have to be burnt out watching cruiserweight guys go at it.
Yeah.
You know, and mind you, some of these cruiserweight guys are not just going to be on 205 Live. Some of them are still going to be on Monday Night Raw. So you're not missing out on them, but I think if you're going to have this 205 Live being just for them, it should just be for them. You know, because cruiserweights aren't really happening on Raw like we thought it was.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, Cedric got the big pop of look at where he was.
But he was in Flair country. Well, right. at that moment, he was in Cedric country.
Them Carolina boy. But yeah, I'd rather it be a Full Sail. Don't have it on Tuesday, goddammit. Have it on Wednesday. I was perfectly fine watching NXT and then watching CWC right afterwards. That was fine with me, you know. But you want us to watch SmackDown, which is already still passable because it's still 2 hours. But you want Velocity again? Keeps 205 Live where it is. I don't know how long is this going to last like this. We've only watched it because it was the first episode. I guess we could check out to see what matches is going to be for next week. They didn't really say what match was going to be on next week, but I don't know. We'll see how it is a month from now.
Yeah.
We'll rate it after a month to see how it is. So that's my thoughts on it. Westside, you got anything on 205 Live and where it should be, or is it cool where it is?
I'm fine, since I never watch Raw or SmackDown, so... It's like, if I catch it, I catch it. It's fine.
Alright. So, we're going on news now?
Yeah.
News!
Well.
Alright, okay, I only have a few tidbits of, news and shit. Conor McGregor, that piece of, that Irish piece of shit. Fuck that guy. But yeah, I think his agent and shit basically said that he's open and willing. If basically they said that if the money's right, he can make an appearance in WWE. If the money is right. So what do you guys think of that, about that?
I think he's trolling everybody.
Because, like, the dude is fucking, like, 165 soaking wet. He'd be in the cruiserweight division straight up.
I mean, no one... Yeah, they probably do know that. Or we'll see. You know, sometimes they might not know. Or they might not care. That's the big thing. They might just not even care. They can still bring him in. But I won't break my neck to go see him. Yeah. If they say Conor McGregor can't reach a deal, I'm just be like, oh, okay. If you reach the deal, oh, okay. No, that's my thing. Because I don't really know much about Conor McGregor, except that he throws a lot. He does it. And he does it really well. So anything he says, I'm just not even going to believe him. Take it with a grain of salt.
No, but for real, fuck that guy.
Why? He ain't none to you.
No, he can eat a dick.
Okay.
God damn.
I'm sorry, I'm a little distracted. FedEx has been messing with me the last 2 days.
FedEx?
Yeah, I was supposed to get a package yesterday, but they never bothered to ship it out from the place. They told me we'll definitely have it there by Wednesday. Whoever was the driver today probably was too lazy to walk up with some stairs and leave it at my door. I have a note on the door just in case.
Oh, wow.
So I had a chat with them again, so they said they sent the facility a note that they can leave it. And I never had a sign for a package from this place, so I'm like, hell.
Well, yeah.
But as for Conor McGregor, I still don't know who he is, so I don't give a damn.
Oh, man. All right. In NXT news, guess who is back in NXT after being on NXT The Competition Show?
Woo!
Guess.
The one black dude.
What?
Yeah.
The one black dude. No. Wait. No, I'm thinking like the first NXT competition. Never mind. I was going to say the Ash nigga who tried to wrestle for New Japan, but...
Oh, hell no.
Oh, it was...
Oh, hell
you said
no.
That was on the competition?
You talking about Michael Tarver? Fuck no.
Yeah. I wanted to throw out the worst possible name.
Hell no. I don't think they'd let him near anything WWE. He was talking so much shit about John Cena.
Well, come on, Kenny Dykstra talked shit about John Cena.
Hey, man, to...
And Goldberg wasn't even on the best of terms when he left WWE.
But he's white. They're white. They're white, though. They're white.
Yeah, well,
they're
okay,
white, though. They got leeway. They got leeway. They're white. But guess it. What you're getting hot by saying it's a black guy.
Low-key is black, right?
What is, low-key? I thought he was Puerto Rican.
What?
I thought low-key was Puerto Rican.
I'm gonna look that up.
I honestly don't know what he is.
No, I don't know what he is. He's like fucking Vin Diesel. No one knows what Vin Diesel is.
Yeah, I don't know what he is either. Something about bald guys.
No. You're half right. He is half Puerto Rican.
I knew it!
And half Italian.
I guessed it. I guessed Puerto Rican. I didn't even know he was Puerto Rican. I just thought...
His name is Brandon Silvestri, so you wouldn't have known from his name.
Yeah, I wouldn't have known anyway. His name, but I could still guess. I was like, yeah, he looked Puerto Rican, though.
I can buy him for being from Puerto Rico because he's trained by Homicide. Homicide trained, like, all the Puerto Ricans.
All the Puerto Ricans.
In Jersey and New York for a time, right?
Yeah. Yo.
There are any black people that was on an NXT competition.
I'm trying to look up the NXT competition right now.
Don't cheat.
I don't remember NXT competition. Besides, Wikipedia doesn't have an article about that.
Who is it? Who is the person you're talking about these days?
Percy Watson.
Percy Watson?
Is that the guy with the ridiculous glasses?
Yes, the nigga with the glasses. Yes.
Why is he back?
Yo, this nigga, apparently he is the third announcer for NXT now.
Wasn't he announcing before?
No, you're thinking about the other black dude. What was his name? Because there was Byron Saxton, there was Percy Watson, the bald black niggas were Percy Watson, Byron Saxton, and that one dude who was he was managing for somebody, but he got fired. I forgot what his name was.
Washington?
Abraham Washington or something like that.
Abraham Washington. Yeah.
That man got fired, like, straight up. I think he said some dumb shit, like, on live Tv or something like that, and they weren't having it, and they fired his ass.
Kobe Bryant something.
Yeah, that's right. It was a Kobe Bryant rape joke. Yeah, it was a Kobe Bryant rape joke. Yeah, he fucked up. Yeah, they fired his ass quick. But yeah, that's the guy you're probably thinking about.
They fired quicker than Joey Styles got fired.
Yeah.
Wait, no, actually, no. Joey Styles got fired quick by Revolve.
Oh, yeah, they fired his ass quick as hell.
Yeah, but remember what color these guys are.
Yeah.
By default, the black guy got fired quicker.
Yeah, and then Chikara kind of the next day. And I think Beyond Wrestling waited 2 days, and they're... Like, we're going to talk to him first, and the next week, like, never mind, he's gone.
Right.
Yeah, well, technically, Joey Styles got fired from 3 companies, so.
Yeah, that's a record, man. That's a record. How you do that? You get fired on your day off.
How
did
the white guy do that?
Like, how you get fired on your day off?
what else you got?
Linda McMahon, guess what she did?
Is she coming to NXT too?
Nazi?
Close. She got invited to meet with the Donald. Yes.
Oh yeah, that's a friend.
The Donald. Because we all know she spent millions on his fucking campaign. $6 million to be exact. So, people are saying that she might be in the running for... Like a Secretary of Commerce position or some shit like that. So
they impeach him on a conflict of interest, since he has to like not be involved with any of his companies, and his companies cannot be involved with politics at all. And I don't see that happening.
He said that he would sever ties with everything, but that's him saying it.
He's got his daughter sitting in on cabinet meeting.
Yo.
Runs company. That's conflict of interest. Fire him before he gets the job.
Yo, this shit is crazy, son.
I read they spent 6 months investigating Jimmy Carter for having a peanut farm. And even after he gave it up, it was a scandal for years. Why has Donald Trump got this far?
Yo, because we're literally...
Somebody voted for him, yo. Someone did.
We are literally living in an idiocracy type world. We're getting to that point, like, straight up. Like, people thought it was bullshit. Them goddamn electrolytes are real. They are real.
It's the electrolytes, so that's what it is.
Yeah, it's shit. But imagine it. But seriously, just imagine a fucking McMahon in the White House as a cabinet member.
No.
What the fuck?
My opinion is this. If anybody from WWE should ever be involved in politics, it's whoever's holding the U.S. title. They're obviously the champion of the U.S. I trust Roman Reigns more in a position of power than any of the people they got. None of these people I trust. And at least with Roman Reigns, maybe he'll spear somebody for saying something stupid. Wouldn't that be just a great visual?
Speaker of the House cool says shit. Ass.
Boom. Roman Reigns spears him, raises the belt, gets booed by half by all the Republicans and cheered by everyone else. It'd be just like wrestling, it'd be beautiful.
That's your theory.
I believe we would have a better society for them.
Yeah, we are fucked.
I'm fucked. Even before Obama, we've been fucked.
Yo, I don't know, man. But, yeah, but fucking McMahon in the fucking White House, though. That's crazy. That is fucking crazy, man. Sports, entertainment, politics. Well, we are living.
Have entrance music when she comes out for everything.
That'd be crazy, son. She'll come up to them old because she used to come out. Well, it wasn't. She used to come out to them old like WrestleMania themes. That what was that thing that.
You know, I'm going to see if Linda McMahon has a list of entrance music right now. Let's see. Come on. What's her wrestling? Linda wrestling scenes.
Yo, her theme. No, her theme is literally one of the, like, the old stock like themes that they used to use for like old like WrestleMania pay-per-views or some shit.
Well. Yeah, probably. I'm not going to click on the YouTube one, but apparently there is a entrance videos for her and a Linda McMahon theme. Last uploaded 2009. Oh, there's a WrestleMania album. Okay, so maybe they'll tell me which one's which.
Oh, God.
And an instrumental version of WrestleMania was used as a theme song for blah, blah, blah. It was also later used as Linda McMahon's entrance music.
Told you.
All right. So it was the theme song that was used for WrestleMania 10 and WrestleMania 14.
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
But still, that would be awesome. She has wrestling interest music. What's her finisher?
The slap.
The slap. That's it.
Like some of the finishers that the girls will have.
Yeah.
In the video game will be like a slap or something.
Yeah, all the non-wrestling girls in like the old SmackDown video games had the slap. Yes. And it like... Oh man. Yeah, it's fucking ridiculous, dude. God damn. Yo, politics is wrestling. America is wrestling.
We are wrestling.
We are wrestling. Yo. Alright, alright, Westside, what news you got, man?
Oh, Kimberly's at the NXT show that's happening right now.
Cool. I heard Big Damo just made an appearance.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, for Sanity. That's what I read. They show pictures and everything, so it's pretty legit.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
I know we were supposed to talk about it. I guess we still can because it just happened. But Dreamwave Wrestling is closing after next month.
R.I.P.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, AAW will actually start running their venue in LaSalle, and they've contacted all the Dreamwave ticket holders to tell them how they would get they can get the AAW tickets for those shows. So there's that. St. Louis Anarchy closed earlier this month.
Oh, really?
They had their final show, and I guess Michael Elgin's not taking it lying down because he pretty much announced the same week that he will start running shows in St. Louis in the same arena as St. Louis Anarchy.
Oh yeah, because he has a new promotion. That's right.
Yep, that's basically it's going to be the new St. Louis Anarchy. He's booking a lot of his students who are working a lot of the Midwest stuff. Some of the guys might get picked up by Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
But he's also, he booked the former champion Davey Vega, Gary J. And he's booked a first-time match between him and Matt Riddle. So there's that. All Ego will be there. He said if he could make enough money, he would try to get the visa license for Josh Alexander. Because the visa issues are really messing with a lot of Canadians.
Yeah, because who else is still locked in there? I know the Super Smash Brothers are still locked in Canada.
Mike Bailey.
Yeah, Mike Bailey, Silesia Sparks, still locked in there.
Bailey's working in DET Pro right now.
Yeah. So
apparently it was easier to get to Japan than come down here.
Yeah.
So there's just... Yeah, it's the visa thing. I mean, Lufisto literally moved to the States.
Yeah, I remember she had a GoFundMe campaign to try to get people to fund her move.
Yeah, and she's working every weekend, so it worked.
Yeah.
because she's a regular for Beyond now, all the pretty much every promotion, Shine, WSU. Yeah. She's been doing – they just – there was a promotion I kept trying to remember their name from a few months back. They reopened AWS out here. So they're running shows again, so they're bringing in Lufisto too. So she's doing shows in California. But yeah, it's Elegance Promotions going to be is Glory Pro. Yeah. First show is in February. Because of his commitment to New Japan, I'm not exact. I know he said he's not going to be able to run in shows every month, obviously. But it'll be interesting to see how it's dealt with. I'm assuming his wife's going to also be involved, since she will be at the first show. And I mean, come on, he's running a wrestling promotion. He had to ask his wife, right?
You know what? That would actually make sense, because like I think she has like a 9-to-5, right? She got a 9-to-5. Yeah, the microbiologist shit. So like, once she gets off of that shit, she's free. She's free for the weekend.
Yeah.
Shit.
Gets to raise the kid at the show.
Yeah.
This is what Daddy does all the time as he slams somebody. But yeah, I'm sure there'll be more details coming up soon. Elgin's, I guess he's cleared because he had the orbital injury.
The orbital bone. Yeah.
Yeah, and then when he was back down, he had to wait a while to get cleared because he had a little bit of a problem with the hip because they shaved the bone off to fix it. So they had to check the bone. So he's clear now. So he's going to be back wrestling. So he's wrestling Jeff Cobb or Matan Cueto. Yes, nice. For Wrestle Circus. So I can only imagine how ridiculous that's going to be. And he's got some other ones, but I'm like, he's wrestling fucking Matan Cueto. It's going to be insane.
All right,
that's all I have.
All right, Doomsday, that was all you got. That's why you pass it to him, obviously. Okay. All right. So the shows for the weekend. I have, like you said, Dream Wave is their last show Saturday, December 3rd. It is called The End. Yes, it's The End of Dream Wave. They have no matches, so I can't tell you what they're going to have, but just go out of this respectful style crowd and Dream Wave going under. As so far as St. Louis Anarchy, you said the same thing about them, but I think they found a pillow to lay on. Unlike Dream Wave, they had nothing on the floor, unfortunately. But something I am looking forward to, Ring of Honor's final was happening on Friday, the 2nd of December.
Oh, yeah.
Only because this card is really stacked. I like this card. And mind you, not a lot of New Japan guys on here. This is actually their roster. Because normally you would have seen, like, a couple of New Japan guys in here. And I can only maybe point out two, maybe three as I read the card along, but it's actually
heavyweights doing the tag tournament right now, so.
Yeah, you know, so, yeah, it's cool. I like this. Pre-show to Tempura Boy showing Yo going up against Cheeseburger Will Ferrara. Of course, that will be taped for YouTube as a pre-show for a final battle. Oh, and mind you, final battle, Hammerstein Ballroom. Did not know they could even go back there, but, hey, it's cool. Bringing back, you know, the good old days. So, it's a happy one now. Because these guys got nothing else to do. The rebellion of Caprice Coleman and Rhett Titus and Kenny King going up. The Motor City Machine Guns, Chris Sabin, Alex Shelley, and 44, That's Me, Baby, Donovan Dijak. This match is going to be serious, guys, because we saw the tables turn live in Baltimore. This is a grudge match between the very over Dalton Castle and Colt Cabana. I don't know who's going to live. One might die. I'm not sure. These guys are going to tear the house down because Dalton Castle's super over with the boys. New Japan's Jushin Thunder Liger on gets challenged by the Last Real Man, and they are going to meet that challenge as Silas Young goes up against Jushin Liger. Jay Lethal, Cody Rhodes, yes, the son of a plumber. They are going to go at it. I believe they're going to have a good match. They should. But it'll be interesting to see Cody Rhodes in Ring of Honor to go up against Jay Lethal, who is a former opponent for him. For the first time ever, Ring of Honor just can't help themselves but give another championship. This is the Ring of Honor six-man tag team championship. This is the tournament finals for the Kingdom of Vinnie Visalia, TK Orion, and Matt Taven. This is his new kingdom. And he's going up against Kushida, Jay White, and Leo Rush. And I don't know if you guys give a damn, but who's going to be the first ever six-man tag team champions?
No one in Ring of Honor, they're going to give it to the guy no one cares about.
Oh, no, it's going to be the Kingdom, most definitely.
Yeah.
All right, so they're going to give it to the Kingdom. New chance, first chance. Ring of Honor World Tag Team Championship. The Briscoe Brothers, Jay and Mark, going up against Bullet Club's Nick and Matt Jackson, the motherfucking Young Bucks. So, the Briscoes have been, what, 40-time World Tag Team Champion in Ring of Honor? I don't know, I forgot, I lost count. But do you guys think the Young Bucks is going to retain the tag team titles, or will Mark and Jay Briscoe regain the Ring of Honor tag team titles? They're still good, both of them are.
I don't know. The Briscoes beat the Young Bucks in New Japan to retain the tag titles, so maybe the Young
they
Bucks
get their
retain.
Win back. I think they had a match in a Reach for the Sky tour. I believe, because it was supposed to be like Mark Briscoe versus, I don't know, Nick and Jay Briscoe versus Matt Jackson, one of them, and they wind up having a tag team match or something like that. Of that sort.
They're 8-time tag team champions, by the way.
Okay, so they're 8 times. It's going to be a ninth time these guys can be tag team champions. I don't know. Honestly, I don't even care who wins. I just want to see the match. I think it'll be really good. For the Ring of Honor World Television Championship, it was supposed to be what I've signed, Bobby Fish versus Dragon Lee. But unfortunately, Bobby Fish lost to Will Ospreay on the night one of Reach for the Sky tour, which made Will Ospreay the new television champion. Then Will Ospreay on night three defended it against the villain Marty Scurll, who beat him to become the new television champion. So now everyone's getting their rematch except for Dragon Lee. So now it's a four-corner survival match for the Ring of Honor World Television Championship. The villain Marty Scurll, the champion, going up against the former champion Bobby Fish, my client, going up against another former champion who only had the title for a day, Will Ospreay, and CMLO's Dragon Lee.
Quick note, the Briscoes haven't had the title since 2012. December 2012.
Still, they had it 8 times. 9 times.
Yeah,
it's still a lot. Yeah, but, who would you guys pick to have the television champion? Would you keep it on Marty Scurll, or would you give it back to
Marty
Bobby Fish?
Marty Scurll, for sure.
Okay. And Doomsday?
Oh, Marty, most definitely.
Alright, and Bobby Fish, because fuck you guys, y'all don't know wrestling. Ring of Honor World Championship. Adam Cole, baby. Defending this title against my client, Kyle O'Reilly. I totally forgot these guys fought last year at Final Battle, which I believe Adam Cole won the match. Kyle O'Reilly beat the all holy shit out of him. This has got to be it. This has got to be their final battle. Literally, this got to be.
My understanding is Adam Cole's contract goes up in April.
Some people actually have Adam Cole winning. Only reason I'm going to say that he's going to lose to Kyle O'Reilly is because you know Ring of Honor has that problem of keeping the title on a guy too long when they should be passing it the torch to someone else. And they wait too long, and then when they finally do it, it's like, all right, you took long enough. This is the perfect time. You built Kyle O'Reilly up to this point. You built Adam Cole to this point. Yes, he got a second title reign. That is all cool. But I think it's time for Kyle O'Reilly to get the title. Mind you, keep in mind, Bobby Fish did win Survival of the Fittest this year. So he does get a title shot, you know, and they might be leaning towards Kyle O'Reilly, Adam Cole. I mean, Kyle O'Reilly, Bobby Fish after Adam Cole gets his rematch, of course.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So, you know, but Kyle O'Reilly versus Bobby Fish got to be down the line because, you know, wrestling, you know, that's what they like to do after they break up tag teams.
I don't see Red Dragon really breaking up now that they're pretty much going to be established as a heavyweight tag team in New Japan going forward. And I don't think they're going to break them up. But who knows?
I hope not. I really hope not. now for their TV taping that they're going to actually have in Philadelphia 2 days later. This is December 4th. They are having the first ever Decade of Excellence tournament, which is going to feature Ring of Honor runners that's been at Ring of Honor for about like 10 years, basically. So this tournament is going to have Mark Briscoe, who's been there since day one, versus Christopher Daniels, who's been there since day one. Colt Cabana.
Mark Briscoe may have been there since day one, but he wasn't allowed to wrestle for the first few shows.
No, he wrestled there, I think, Honor and Vince Boston. So no. That was still in 2002. He just couldn't wrestle in Philly because of his age.
Because I know he wasn't allowed to wrestle the main place that they ran for.
Yeah, he couldn't wrestle in Philly. It wasn't legal for him to wrestle in Philly.
Yeah, okay.
But when he went to Boston, because he faced Jay Briscoe in Boston. It was the same year. And I know Daniels is there the first episode because, you know, triple threat matches.
Yeah.
Alex Shelley versus Colt Cabana. I think Alex Shelley started 2003. He wasn't there first year. Because Generation Next didn't come out until a year after that. And I believe Colt Cabana came in at the end of 2002, maybe early 2003.
Yeah, he came in pretty early. But he was Ring of Shelley was Ring of Honor 2004.
Okay, 2004. It says what? The City Machine Guns made his ROH debut in June 2003. He's been a member of two top factions, Embassy and Generation Next.
So maybe he did make some appearances before it, but I guess he wasn't a regular.
Yeah. Cabano did, yeah, because I remember it was Final Battle. It was the first Final Battle in December, and I believe CM Punk was there too, and they was talking. So
yeah, he beat CM Punk in his debut.
Yeah. That's what it was. I knew it was like tail end of 2002, something like that. Jushin Liger versus Jay Lethal. You all know Jay Lethal was in Special K, like real early.
I love Special K. They were awesome.
I think Jushin Liger came in as a special attraction to face Danielson? But I think Liger debuted in November 2000.
He wrestled, I think he was in a tag match, too. That had some boy trouble and stuff.
Yeah. It was something like that. Like, it was a tag match or a match, something like that. But Jushin Liger was around that time, 2004. And Jay Lethal, of course, was like Special K, but he wasn't like. They said Jay Lethal came in January 2003. Damn, he was 17. All right. But yeah, he was in Special K super early. And the last match, of course, Jay Briscoe, who else was there since day one, and BJ Whitmer, who I believe he was with the Prophecy. A year after it was formed, because I know he was tagging with Dan Moff. In the early Ring of Honor.
I think BJ Whitmer came in solo originally.
He just
sort of debuted. He wasn't like a big thing.
Whitmer, who debuted in Ring of Honor in January 2000.
Yeah, he debuted, or maybe he did debut, because all I remember really was his match with CM Punk that didn't finish.
Like, I know he did, I know when he came in, he might not even join the Prophecy early, but I know he was in there. Like 2003-ish, because like 2002 it was like Donovan Morgan and some girl and Xavier. I think it was Simply Lush or something like that. And Xavier, those are like the early, like the first edition Prophecy members. And then Dan Moff and
this is way too old for me. I'm having a hard time remembering.
I don't know why I even remember this shit. I don't know. It's just something I remember. And actually, there's a new match here. First time ever, no disqualification, Women of Honor match between Mandy Leon and Taylor Hendricks. And I actually like the video that Taylor Hendricks has been putting out on YouTube. So that is actually pretty cool. Other than that, I don't even know who's going to win this Decade of Excellence tournament. But whoever wins receives a world title shot on the anniversary show. So, that'll be cool. First anniversary, let's see. If I'm booking Kyle O'Reilly, Jay Lethal?
Maybe.
Christopher Daniels got to be on his way out somewhere in there. I don't know. I think there might start a retirement tour for him or something. Not BJ Whitmer. Far that. Not Liger. Colt Cabana?
Maybe.
Mark Briscoe, I would be shocked if it's Alex Shelley. I just like, whoa, really? But yeah, that is it for Ring of Honor. Now we move on to WWE's
Hold on. Chikara's doing their last two shows. I'm gonna go through this real quick.
Chikara.
Hey.
There's some good matches here. Well, at least one. They only announced partial cards for both of them. Because they do the two cards the same day. The first show, Temple of Doom, I guess. Los Ice Cream take on the tag team Hermit Crab and Cage and whatever. Solo Darling makes her return, facing Max Smashmaster. Two new tag teams who just debuted are wrestling each other, Death Peloton and Crumbles and Defarge. But the main match on this one is Mask versus Mask, Amasis versus Frightmare. We are finally going to see if Amasis is really Rich Swann under the mask.
Wow. I'm picking Frightmare to lose.
Right? Yeah. That's the first show. The second show after that is Supremacy. It has Officer Warren Barksdale versus some guy I never heard of, Jeremy Leary. Bullet Ant and Silver Ant take on Juan De Francisco Coronado and Lonnie. NRG challenges Chuck Taylor Trademark, a.k.a. Stokely Hathaway, and Dustin. And the main event is one of Mofo Magic's favorite type of matches, the Cybernetico. The Hollow Wicked team versus Dasher Hatfield's team. Dasher's team is him, Heidi Lovelace, Thunder Frog, Missile Assault Man, Oleg the Usurper, Fire Ant, Kimberly, and Ophidian. And then Hollow Wicked's team is the Hexmen, Hollow Wicked, Cobalt, the Batiri, Icarus, Mark Angelosetti, Jigsaw, and Brightman. Which I actually really want to see that match. I love Cybernetico. Okay, done.
Oh, I thought that was... Didn't they say two shows?
Yeah, those are two shows. But they do basically six shows per card, and they tend to put, like, an early show and then a late show. So they get partial cards for the two shows.
Sorry.
They're both in Chicago, too, so this is, I think, the first time they're ending the year in Chicago.
Cool. And what date is that? That's the weekend?
Yeah, it's the 3rd. Wait, is that Saturday?
Saturday's the 3rd, yeah.
Yeah, okay, Saturday.
All right. So on Sunday, TLC, Tables, Ladders, Chairs, and Stairs. Thank God they don't do that no more. They have six matches announced here. This is a SmackDown pay-per-view or TV. You know what it is. This is for the SmackDown Tag Team Championships. The Wyatt family of Bray Wyatt and Randy Wyatt. Going up against the champions of Heath Slater and Rhino. Do you see Bray Wyatt carrying silver in the WWE?
Fuck no.
It would be about time.
I mean, he did win at Survivor Series. He could keep streak up. You don't think so, do you? You think he's going to?
Fuck no. He better take an L.
I mean, Heath Slater and Rhino have had the titles for a while. We always thought they were going to lose those belts, and they never did. Still no? Just a second. Next match is a chairs match between the very hateful Baron Corbin going up against Kalisto. Baron Corbin cost Kalisto the whole division, the whole Cruiserweight division, just because he was a hater. So now he's in a chairs match with Kalisto. Do you guys give a damn, yes or no?
No.
And then he said no. But I heard his brainwaves. No disqualification match. Nikki Bella going up against Carmella. Who you guys have winning this? Nikki Bella. Duh. Or Carmella can win via disqualification. I don't know. Next up is a ladder match for the Intercontinental Championship. Michael and Dolph Ziggler going up against The Miz. Do you see another title change, or do you see The Miz still holding on to the Intercontinental title?
Miz got it.
Yeah, Miz. Sorry, I had to go a second ago. But yeah, Miz.
I don't even care. I don't know who's going to win, and I don't care.
Miz has had such a good year. He actually made it on my top list of wrestlers. First time.
What?
Well, my list this year is like 25 because I had because I went a little farther. But he's like low.
Well, my shitty years list, he's on there twice.
He's on my Match of the Year list once.
He's on there.
But you have a list for every, you know, every company.
As far as all wrestling matches for a whole year?
Yeah, yeah, for the whole year.
WWE match might, I don't know. I gotta really look at her and dissect them all.
Yeah, I have WWE matches I have on here.
I think Miz is gonna win, just in this thing, and have Dolph Ziggler start the New World Order, which I actually booked before he had the shirt on at the, Talking Smack.
he's on my top 20 list, but he's in the last match on here, so we'll see if he holds that position.
Tables match. This is for the SmackDown Women's Championship. Could see it flip-flop as Becky Lynch defends her title against Alexa Bliss. Guys, will we see a new champion?
I want Becky Lynch to keep the title. I like Alexa Bliss, but I think Becky Lynch deserves it.
But guys, this is a tables match. Becky Lynch went through a table this Tuesday. If that was a match, she would have lost.
I still got Becky. I still got Becky.
Okay. That's cool.
Oh, my gosh.
Next up is a tables, ladders, and chairs match. A TLC match for the WWE World Championship. AJ Styles going up against the Ladies Love, Dean Ambrose. Guys, how are you booking this? Who's going to win? Who's going to be the champion?
AJ Styles wins in 5 minutes and laughs at Dean Ambrose.
That's it has to be AJ Styles, man.
It has to be. What about James Ward?
No.
People are already booking it how Dolph Ziggler faced John Cena and how, what her name, AJ Lee cost him the briefcase. They're going to say that James Ellsworth is going to cost Dean Ambrose the briefcase and be a lackey for AJ Styles. Are y'all cool with that? Could be a miniature champion for the club.
I don't involved in this at all.
It's over. He got t-shirts selling.
I don't care. AJ Styles is at his best when it's him versus his target. I don't need other guy off to the side. I want AJ Styles to dominate and win this quick.
He's the face that runs the place.
Exactly.
He runs the camp, and he needs to run his camp.
AJ Styles needs to retain. He needs to defend it against some new competition, and then lose it to John Cena, because that's how it works.
I know, right? Oh, gotta give him that 16 time, man.
He's beaten Cena enough that it's okay.
He said as quick as possible, AJ Styles beats Dean Ambrose in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I'm cool with it.
Doomsday still here?
Still fucking here, man.
Dude!
Dude, what did you
show?
I told you!
Alright. He wants AJ to win it quick.
I told you it was AJ. God damn.
Are you sure?
Yes, I'm sure. Yes, bitch, I'm sure.
Okay. Don't come crying when Dean Ambrose comes to Tom Chase.
No.
Ah, man. They really do have to get this over with, though. Because, I mean, who would AJ's next opponent be? Mind you, they're, got to have an opponent for the Royal Rumble because they're in the Alamo Dome?
Oh, he's wrestling Shawn Michaels this year, isn't he? Aren't they trying to tease AJ Styles for Shawn Michaels for some reason?
Yes. Yes, they are. But they might be saying, I don't know, AJ Styles against The Undertaker. I don't know. It's got to be someone. Someone big.
I did see an announcement there. Will we bring Elimination Chamber back next year in June? I like the Elimination Chamber match. I don't care.
I liked it until they started abusing it every year. I liked Hell in a Cell until it didn't make no sense in that end feuds. I liked a couple things. I liked Money in the Bank until it became everyone's first major title win. And they didn't earn it like AJ Styles did.
I understand that, but I always kind of liked the Elimination Chamber a little bit better than the Hell in a Cell, because the Hell in a Cell just seemed like a glorified cage match, and I never liked cage matches, really. At least with this one, they got more steel on the inside to hurt themselves with, and they seem to try to do a little bit more, like, weird stuff. Or the whole cell thing I always thought was fascinating, too. Especially when they get mad and start breaking the cell. That's just me. I know I'm in a small group of people for that one.
No. I get it. But anything else that y'all want to talk about while we're still here?
Nope.
I just want to say that, fuck Skype. You can eat a dick.
Mm-hmm.
And
I agree.
But I'm glad to be back. We are back.
This is cool. Yeah. This is cool. This makes everyone happy.
Yes, literally everyone.
Alright, it's time to plug everything. Doomsday, you got anything to plug?
Alright, Doomsday519@tumblr.com. Enjoy Doomsday on Twitter. Doomsday_519 on YouTube as my primary channel. My secondary channel is Doomsday Gorilla, spelled as in PWG Gorilla. Doomsday Gorilla on Instagram. My Snapchat is Joey Doomsday 519, and that's about it.
All right. And West Side Golf, if you need me, you'll find me online. Shout out to Freaks and the Effort Geeks. And go to Rant Ian Radio on Twitter at Rant Ian Radio, rantradio.com. And me at NZ Podcast. If y'all give a good goddamn, which you probably don't, but that is the end of the show. Doomsday, please give us the kind words, because this is your show.
Hey, 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 hey. Smoke weed every day.